Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
My name is Wes Everett, and I am your host of the Mosh Pit Podcast, bringing you the best in unsigned and indie punk, rock, and metal artists every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on Karma Radio. Get your rock on.
So, mic check, 1, 2.
Do I say 1, 2?
You can.
Oh.
It'd be better. All right. Anyway, welcome to the Mosh Pit. Your host, Wes Everett, with my wonderful guest, Miss Savannah, the Hunter, the Huntress. So what have you been up to?
Nothing too much. You know, just off-season is always kind of weird. You don't really know what to do with all your time because you put so much time and effort literally just sitting in your stand, and then that time's over and you're like, oh, I can sleep and, you know, go out with my friends and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Normal life.
Yes.
So what do you do in your off season? What are some of the highlights of the off season to get ready, not just to get ready for the next season, but just to decompress really from the last season?
So a lot of the highlights, I like to still do, you know, outdoor activities and stuff like that, but the mushroom season is a really big highlight just because it only lasts for about a month. 2 weeks are really the best, though, so you only have a really short time window to find it.
Yeah.
And then we usually collect them and then freeze them for the whole year.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, you just found some really special mushrooms, right?
Yes, we have found excessive amounts of chanterelles, and thankfully it's all on my private hunting property, so we can collect and not really have to worry about going off property or anything like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So tell our listeners and me, what are chanterelles?
So they are little orange mushrooms. Well, they can be big sometimes, but I've never really seen them bigger than about the size of my fist. Mm-hmm. But they're orange. They kind of look like flowers whenever they're fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
But they are very delicious. They complement any dish.
Oh.
And there's a lot of restaurant owners that would like to purchase them sometimes.
Yeah.
But usually I just keep them for me and my friends.
Nice. I'll pause real quick. So, you brought some hides, which is really awesome. You want to tell us about those?
Yes, that is also something that I'm doing in the off season. Right. So, the schedule kind of goes, you kill all your deer in the fall, and then you tan your hides in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So, all these hides, what I'm going to try and do is make a jacket out of them. So we'll get them all. We need about four. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten two done so far, and then we have to smoke them. But nice. Whenever I do those hides, I try and get flesh them out really good whenever I kill the deer. So that mm-hmm. way, that's just less work that I have to do later. So I get basically everything clean off of it. And I try and make sure there's no knife cuts in that skin, because whenever I go to scrape it later,
nice.
That's just a pain, and I could make holes in the hides.
Right. So you've got two different color skins, hides here. Let me use the proper term. So you've got the light and the dark, and they're going to be part of the same jacket.
No, these are examples that are already finished.
Okay.
These are not mine that I have done. I haven't smoked mine yet.
Okay.
Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to get everything all flesh scraped and everything done and softened, and then we smoke them all together.
Okay. So there'll be one color, one mm-hmm. style.
One color. So this darker one, mm-hmm. that's just one that's been smoked for longer.
Gotcha.
So I'll probably smoke mine pretty dark because I can't keep that clean. Yeah. I know my limits.
Well, the reason I ask is because I wasn't sure if you were going to do like a like the interior as a lighter color and the dark on the out.
Oh, no. So this...
But, yeah.
So the unfinished side
mm-hmm.
will lay on my skin, and the finished side will be out.
Gotcha.
Just one piece. I'm not making it more complicated.
Yeah, I understand that. So, you do hides, and speaking of complicated, how complicated is it when you mess with your jewelry? What is it? Because you do snake bones, you do...
Yeah.
I mean, everything. When we say she uses every part of every kill, we're not lying.
The snow came down, it was white on white, from the moors to the top of the peaks. Coffee shop girl put a sign outside and said we're closed now due to the freeze. The year of confusion, the year of the horse, a foregone conclusion, the gravitational force, the year of the an uncharted course. We were lost in the year of the horse. The bedclothes rolled in a tight little ball on a hook at the foot of the bed. We brought her tea. She just wanted to get some rest. The year of disasters, the year of divorce, the end of the ever afters, the gravitational force, the year of confusion, an uncharted course. We were lost in the year of the horse. I saw Jesus in the shadow of a blizzard, saw the devil in the shape of its claw, watched it rise through a break in the sky. We stood back, we watched it soar. The year we were 16, the year of the horse, the rush of amphetamine, the gravitational force, the year of confusion, the year of the we were lost in the year of the horse.
Cathedral Birds, the year of the horse.
Yeah, so that, honestly, just getting everything clean is the biggest thing, because it's like you don't want to sell someone a bone necklace and they're like, this smells horrible. Like, yeah, it smells like something died. And you're like, well, it did.
Technically.
So that's the biggest thing. But honestly, bleach and peroxide, if you just have to treat it a couple times, sometimes depending on what it is. But the stone jewelry is pretty popular too, just because I've found a lot of flashier stones that other people can't find. And I do all my work in stainless steel or copper, so nothing tarnishes.
Nice. Yeah, that copper on some of the, I've seen a lot of your jewelry, and that copper really makes some of those pieces just really pop.
Yes, the blue stones. Yes. People love the blue and the copper together.
Yeah, there's something about that combo. I think everybody loves it.
Yes.
So you were doing festivals with your jewelry. Do you do festivals with the hides?
So festivals with the hides, honestly, with how much work goes into it, no one's going to want to pay the price for that. It's so much. So, like, from the time I kill that deer to the time that hide is done, like, it would like someone would have to put $1,000 cash in my hand to make me think about it.
Well,
it's just there's so many steps to it. So it's like you, whenever you kill the deer, you have to get the skin off. You have to make sure everything's clean. And then usually I just go ahead and freeze it at that point, because then I have all this meat that I have to worry about.
Yeah.
So I freeze it, de-thaw it in the fall, and then you re-scrape it to get it even cleaner than what you had it. And then we have to soak it in a lye solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually like drain cleaner.
Wow.
That you have to get from Ace Hardware, and then you go into Ace Hardware, and they have to like ID you and ask certain questions about why you need so much lye.
Oh, make sure you're not killing anyone, burying the body.
Yeah, that's always an awkward situation. What are you doing? Tanning hides, and they look at me and they're like, no.
Nobody does that.
Are you sure you're not making drugs? And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Oh.
And then once you have all the lye in that hide, you have to scrape even more, because that hide makes all the flesh swell so that you can get it cleaner than what you had it.
Nice.
But then once all that's in there, you have to neutralize it in a vinegar solution to shrink it back, and you scrape it again. It's just, it is non-stop scraping.
That's a high price tag on that.
Yes, and then softening is even worse.
Yeah.
So you have to soak it in the brain solution.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we just, sounds horrible, we take the brain and put it in a blender and make like a soup just to kind of smush everything together.
Yeah.
And then once all that's wet and soaking, we pull it back and forth until it's dry.
Gotcha.
And
that
you can't
fun.
Stop. You have to do it till it's all the way dry, or else you have to start all over.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no.
It is a process.
Yeah, definitely not selling those at a festival.
No.
So let's talk about your festivals. You set up for hours, Chroma Storm Arts and the Mosh Pit. We did the Rock In Cruise Out. No, the Cruise In and Rock Out. That one. Yeah, the other one. Pretty good turnout.
It was. I was very surprised.
We had a lot of good booths, and especially your stuff got a lot of attention with the arrowheads, the bones.
Yes.
Tell us, you know, what is your festival schedule right now? Are you doing more of those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm doing some more of those. So what I usually do is I usually partner up with my friend Billy Berger. He has, his company is Primitive Pathways, and mine is Savage Nature Designs.
Nice.
So a lot of the times he'll do, like, the arrow replicas, some of the arrowheads, the bows, like, more equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take his equipment, and then I can make it into jewelry or something someone can wear. So what people like to do, they like to come in, buy an arrowhead from him, and then I'll wrap it into a necklace that they can wear it, or they can put it in a case, hang it on the wall, whatever they choose to do.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But we're thinking of, I'm trying to get into a rock show, because that's where me and him go to get a lot of our supplies. Because he chips arrowheads from the stones, and then I do wire wrapping on the stones.
Nice.
So we use a lot of rocks. So I was like, why not sell our stuff where people are getting their supplies anyway? Because there's a lot of jewelry stores there as well.
Yeah.
But the Bell Point Gem Show, I'm probably going to contact them soon.
Where is that?
It has been at the Gwinnett County Fairgrounds, but I think they're setting up in the Cobb Galleria. But I'm not sure what the stuff is to get into there, or the booth fee, because sometimes that's crazy, or sometimes you have to apply a year in advance. But I'll definitely put it on social media wherever we end up.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely share that for you, too.
Yes, thank you.
I think we saw you at, what, Apple Fest? Not last year, but year before?
Because I don't think they had it last year, but 2 years ago we were at the Apple Festival, and then earlier this year we were at the Georgia Mushroom Festival.
Okay.
That was an amazing turnout.
Yeah.
We will definitely be there next year.
Nice. Are they doing Apple Fest this year, or do you know?
I think they are. Yeah. That and the Sorghum Festival or something in Blairsville is going on at the same time, so I think the Apple Festival will be a little bigger, so we'll probably end up there.
Okay, cool. Well, definitely keep us posted, because, you know, we'll try to be out there. I will probably end up being out there, because If they do it, my actual company that I work for, we actually set up the ATMs.
Oh, nice.
So we put 4 ATMs out there. That's a headache. I hate that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because usually it's...
Hey, at least you're putting the ATMs out there.
Right. And usually, most years, Apple Fest and Marble Fest fall about the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, the week before is Jeep Fest, and then some other festival. There's, like, a whole month of just...
It's just all of it.
Yeah, it's literally just pick the ATM up and move it over there. It's like, damn.
One more.
So, yeah.
But no, we'll definitely try and get some more festivals in soon. It always interferes with deer season, though. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask if it does, because I know deer season starts here, and then festivals still overlap that.
Yes, there's always some days to where it's like I know I have a festival coming up, but I'll be hunting that morning, and then I'll end up killing a deer that morning. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do with this?
Hey, that's part of the event. Yes, I'll do it here.
I know at one point I'd killed, I think, one day and then one the next day, and Billy's like, Smith, what are you gonna do with all these deer? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I thought you were gonna help me.
Yeah, right? Hey,
you want some meat, right? That's what this is.
yeah exactly. And you know, the festivals, they want authentic stuff. How much more
authentic right there?
How much more authentic can you get?
Exactly.
Nice. That awkward silence.
I know, right? What are we going to do about it?
I don't know.
Should we cut it out or just leave it for entertainment?
Yeah, I'll cut it. Okay. Where do you want to...
Hikers, hell on heels.
Because we've kind of rushed through a lot of this.
I know, I got nervous.
Oh, so you mentioned the mushrooms, and I know you're an avid chef.
Yes, I am.
What's one of your favorite recipes to use, like either the meat or the mushrooms or a combination of?
So actually, my favorite is a combination of them. So it's always fun just to gather all those mushrooms, and we save them for the whole year because we like to put them on deer steaks. So it's like, whenever I gather those mushrooms, it's always better, like, the fresher you can do it, just because there's no preservatives, nothing like that, keeping those mushrooms from going bad.
Right.
So sometimes, like, you can let them sit maybe, like, a day or two in the fridge or whatever. That's not a big deal, but I like to try and do it right when I gather the mushrooms. So whenever I get them, I go ahead and I take them, and these mushrooms, they have ridges on the bottom, mm-hmm. not gills. If you find any with gills, don't eat those.
Okay.
No good.
Do our listeners know the difference between gills and ridges?
Probably not. It's better to look at photos.
Gotcha.
So, like, ridges, they're, like, flat to the surface. Like, they're still, like, big raises
mm-hmm.
in the underside of that mushroom, but they're not, like, separated. No. Like, it's not... Like, gills are more like a fan that you can run your finger across it and, like, actually see separations in it. But ridges, you can kind of just run your finger over it.
Okay.
And feel bumps. But sometimes they can look similar if those chanterelles aren't big enough.
Mm-hmm.
But they all grow on that same root system.
Gotcha.
So it's not, you're not going to have, like, chanterelle poison. That's usually going to be all chanterelles, but...
Okay.
A lot of times, whenever you pick them, they'll have like a peppery taste, and they'll smell like apricots.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Yes.
See, my grandpa would kick my ass right now because he at one point he had taught me and both my brothers this, you know, which ones were edible, which ones were not. I mean, mm-hmm. plants in general.
Yeah.
And I was really too young to even really be paying attention. I was like, oh, mushrooms.
This'll do.
Yeah.
But no, it's... With those mushrooms, it's really important just to get them clean. Because all those ridges, they'll hold mm-hmm. dirt and bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I like to take the mushrooms and split them in half and go ahead and kind of tear them a little bit. Because what happens is whenever the bugs start eating them, they'll burrow in and bring all that dirt in there with them. And you don't want to have kind of a gritty mushroom.
Isn't it just extra protein?
Nah. I mean, if you cook it long enough.
If you cook it long enough, that is the key to everything.
Yeah, Billy likes to take a little more time with cleaning than I do. I'm like, if you get it hot enough, it'll be fine. And he's still over there scrubbing with a brush. But mine, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you get that many mushrooms, you get to the good enough point.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I like to really... I'll split them open, make sure the insides are clean and all the ridges are clean. But the important thing with those mushrooms, they hold a lot of water.
Yeah.
So you want to throw them in a pan, like, I'm talking no oil, no nothing, just get those mushrooms hot.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just about be flooded with water.
Oh, wow.
So if you try and season them beforehand, you're just wasting all that stuff and you're going to have to strain them. Yeah. So just do a good solid, I like to do a pre-cook, get all the water out, and just cook the water out.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you have a lot in the pan, you'll end up having to strain it or whatever. But if you just have like a bundle about mm-hmm. the size you'd get at a grocery store, it'll cook out.
Hmm.
And then you can start adding your oil and your butter or whatever you want to add. A lot of times I'll throw a sweet onion in there with some garlic.
Hmm.
And then cook it for a while until it's pretty brown.
Yeah.
And then a splash of red wine really makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then let the alcohol cook out, and then some coarse ground pepper.
Yeah.
And that's about all you need.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I may have to try that.
Yes, I'll bring you a batch.
Ooh, always looking for new stuff.
Yes.
So what is your favorite spice to put on the mushrooms? Do you have other than garlic, a favorite?
Coarse ground pepper. I don't like the fine pepper, just because it almost gets lost
mm-hmm.
in it. But whenever you have those bigger flakes of pepper, you can appreciate them more.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make the whole thing spicy. You, like, hit different notes in
right.
spicy spots, but it's not overtake. It's not uniform.
Gotcha.
It's like something new every bite.
That's
kind of
cool.
Sometimes time, just a little bit of time, can make people question what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because, what's that? I'm like, it's just time.
That's awesome, though. It's so cool to have somebody in here that knows, you know, the hunting, the cleaning, the cooking aspect of all that.
Yes, I am a start-to-finish person.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, and I appreciate you coming back in here, being our first interview back in the new studio.
Yes, I wouldn't have it any other way.
main reason I wanted you to be our first is because I knew you wouldn't judge me too hard if things didn't work exactly like I thought they would.
Right. I mean, I just kind of kept it all to myself. But I'm just kidding.
You didn't see the look of just straight depression right there. I was like, damn.
No, I'm definitely joking. But it looks absolutely amazing in here, for sure.
We have definitely done a lot.
Honestly, it is. It's better than when you started.
You know, that's the kind of the feeling that I've gotten from a lot of the comments. Yeah. People are like, oh man, that looks even better.
It does. It looks even better. Everything. Well, it's like now you can set it up exactly how you want after you've had trial runs.
Right. And that's, you know, that's the thing is when we were putting the studio together the first time, you know, we were piecing what we could because we were doing Amanda's spot upstairs, Chroma Storm Arts, what is that? But yeah, we were actually, I don't want to call the flood a blessing, but we could actually redo the studio the way we wanted to, because like I said, we were upstairs, you know, doing her stuff, the wall, the floor, the stage, everything, and we just kind of pieced together what we had down here. Well, now I can go, okay, well, you're done up there, so I can spend the money I want to down here.
Exactly.
And it looks good.
It looks amazing.
I like it. I'm glad you like it.
Me too. It's...
I feel like it's homier.
Yeah. Like, it's very comfortable, but it still doesn't look... It feels comfortable, but it looks put together.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best of both worlds.
I mean, Billy's up there on the new comfortable couch.
I know. He's loving it.
Yeah. See, where the other way, the couch was way back there. You were right there, and you couldn't see me because I had 9 monitors in front of me.
And then the high tops, too.
Yeah. Those are hidden in the corner over there now. Nice. So, yeah.
Kill the sound, hung out to dry.
The Mosh Pit is still looking for unsigned and indie artists to submit music to be featured on the podcast. You can submit your music at the Mosh Pit at StereoSoundRecords.com. All submissions are welcome. You can also submit topic ideas if you want us to talk about a particular subject.
But everything came together just right.
I think so. Tomorrow will be the true test.
Uh-oh, what's tomorrow?
I got Jackson Heaton from Rock 100.5
studio. Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
I can say that because by the time this is aired, that will be past.
Right. And if he doesn't show up, we can just cut it.
That's right. Be like, yeah, he was here. I'm still working on the interview. Oh, so back to food.
Oh, yes.
Deer steaks.
So deer steaks are tricky.
But they're so good.
If you do them right.
Yes.
So, I do all my processing myself, so I know exactly what went in to where, how long this sat.
Mm-hmm.
So, my trick that I like to do is whenever I kill a deer, I go ahead and quarter it, and then I let it soak in salted ice water for about a week. So, what that does is no matter if that's an old gamey buck, that is going to tenderize all the meat, and it's going to pull out every bit of game flavor that you can have. But the problem is if you get too much salt in your batch, you want to be really careful. It can almost like kind of make the meat a weird texture and like disintegrate it almost. Like it's almost like putting like pineapple juice on chicken and it gets like super weird. Yeah. You got to do it in small doses.
Hmm.
So I give it a good shake.
Yeah.
But whenever I go to cut my steaks, a lot of people think, oh, back straps only.
Mm-hmm.
There is plenty of good steaks to cut out of the hind quarter.
Yeah.
Just once you get in there, I like to section off all the meat from that hind quarter and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever feels the most tender, that's what gets cut into the steak. And I cut them thick because whenever you cook deer, it's such a lean meat, it cooks very fast.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have your steaks well done. Because
no.
This is a process that you started start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more sanitary than that meat truck your cow was on for like 2 weeks probably. So you're safer eating that undercooked meat that you harvested yourself than something from a grocery store.
Right. I'm one of those I hate well done anyway. I mean,
it's gross. Yeah, no one should chew steak that much.
No, I
it's
mean,
ruined.
Yeah, listen, I can chew on my boot all day long.
Yeah.
And, you know, put a little barbecue sauce on it, whatever.
I
but,
know. Given you don't have to have your steaks as raw as mine, but
do you just cut yours off the cow?
That's what people say, but I do a solid 2 minutes on either side.
Solid two. So it's not quite bleeding. It's a little bit cauterized.
It's seared on the outside. But what people don't know about deer steaks, too, is once you cook it,
mm-hmm.
that meat will continue to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the texture of it or how lean it is, I'm not really sure, but whenever you do 2 minutes on either side and you pull it off that grill and you cut into it, you're like, whoa, that's too much for me. That is raw. But mm-hmm. if you let that meat sit, and by the time you get all your other sides and your stuff on that plate
mm-hmm.
and you're serving that steak to someone, it's already maybe even medium
mm-hmm.
rather than rare.
Yeah, see, when I was in school, my brothers, they used to hunt all the time, so we had an overabundance of deer steaks. I mean, we did deer spaghetti. Deer was basically on the plate almost every night, which I'm not complaining.
Right.
So, in high school, we had this thing. It was FFA, Future Farmers of America,
oh, yeah.
that group.
I was in there, too.
I was not technically in it, but my teacher that did the FFA events, he wanted 100% participation. And, of course, I was the outcast kid that was just like, why am I even in this class? My other classmates all threw in and basically bought my way into it just so we'd have 100%.
Aww.
And I was like, that's pretty cool. So we did this thing near the end of the year where we could bring food to cook. He brought in the grill. We were mm-hmm. able to bring in stuff. And I was like, all right, well, I got y'all. And I brought in like 3 deer steaks. And people were like, oh, he brought in just regular steak. I'm like, no.
These are
no,
better.
These are. Dude, they split those things up, and people were like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, Yeah. They're like, this is not beef. This is not cow. I'm like, no, it's not. It's deer. It's deer. You know, those things that walk through the woods out there. I've never had deer before.
A lot of people haven't.
They really haven't.
Or they've had it prepared wrong and it's ruined their life forever.
I could have really messed them up and brought in a squirrel.
Ooh. Not for me.
It's good if it's done right. Yeah. It's kind of like octopus. Mm-hmm. You don't eat that either, do you?
No.
No.
If you have to try so hard to eat something, you probably shouldn't eat it.
Yeah, there's some truth behind that. Yes. Yes. So, where are you headed from here? What are you, what do you got? What's your next stop as far as festival event?
So far, not much of anything. Nothing. We are
still in the off season.
Yeah, we just got done with. Man, we probably had 3 shows in a row. We did the Mushroom Festival, then we did the Bald Ground Farmers Market, and then the ride and cruise here.
Yeah.
So it's like we're almost like in recoup mode. Like we need more inventory.
Gotcha.
We don't have anything left to sell. But I've gotten my inventory back up a little bit and I've posted those on Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting on them to sell. I kind of got in trouble on Etsy, so I think they throttled my sales a little bit.
But. Wait. This is something interesting here. Wait a second. Yes. What happened?
So, I sold, like, some bear claw necklaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with all Kodiak bear leather and stuff like that. So, yeah. I have bear products. They sent me an email saying that I could not use bear products because they were endangered. I was like...
They're thinking you're a poacher or something?
No. I was like, bears aren't endangered. Have you walked outside? Like, I almost ran into one. Like, and they're Thanks. Like... Yeah, no bear products. So I was like, but these are black bears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like some of the claws and stuff like I've gotten from the taxidermists that are left over or like I even ran out of some and someone wanted some and I couldn't find any. So I ordered them online. I'm like, I can buy it on the internet. How is it illegal?
That's weird.
Well, I mean, that's probably a bad example to use. But
yeah, I mean. Depends on where on the internet you bought it from.
No, it was a valid site.
eBay.
No, it was like Hide and Fur. Like it was a real website.
Nice.
Shipped in the United States, but they're like, no, all bears of any kind are endangered, and we cannot have any bear products on our site.
That's weird.
But I've been selling bear products for 3-4 years on there.
Yeah. Huh.
And then all of a sudden, someone got offended. I'm like, it's not like it's a grizzly or a polar bear.
Right.
I would keep that for myself. Thank you very much. It is a common North American black bear.
Yeah. Huh.
But.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but.
And there's always people out there trying to do stuff. Just.
Because I have the Etsy website, but I am about to cancel it just because they're. Like, I haven't sold anything on there in almost a year.
Oh, wow.
Ever since I got in trouble for that. I was like,
so they might be blocking your posts?
I think they're blocking my posts or something.
That sucks.
Yeah. But
set up your own website.
Yeah, that's
set it up your own.
That's the plan for tonight. Set up my own.
Nice. Let me know when it's live.
Whatever products I want.
Yeah. Let me know when it's live. We'll promote it for you.
Yes, please. There's plenty of stones right now on Etsy.
Okay.
So.
Cool. Now, do you do any fishing?
Honestly, not really.
No.
It's... So, I've done some bass fishing, and some trout.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, after hunting, and like, you know, whenever I kill a deer, and it's like I'm dragging that thing mm-hmm. home, and I'm like, look what I got.
No.
Like, I can feed you forever. Look at me. I got this humongous animal to feed my friends and my family. And then I go fishing, and I'm like, oh.
You got enough for a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm like... Look at this, a fish. Or it's like even like duck or like turkey hunting and you're like, cool, a chicken.
Yay.
Like it's just after having that thrill
of
taking down so much big game, you're like, well, that was exciting.
You can always do the deep sea thing.
I don't really like the water.
Oh, well then, don't do the deep sea then.
Nope.
Yeah, that was one thing I tried to get into for a while when I was fishing. I used to fish all the time, and I was like, man, I'd love to get into bow fishing.
Yeah.
But
that is, that I could get into, but really the only things they really bow fish for are like carp or something mm-hmm. like
that. Yeah, you gotta have a big target. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta have a big target. Yeah. You're not going for brim or something over there.
No, trout, get it.
Waste an arrow on that.
Well, you have a string tied to your arrow, so you can just pull it back.
Yeah, but still, that's a wasted shot yeah. for a little brim. Because it takes, me and my uncle actually went brim fishing, God, it's been like 10 years ago now, maybe longer. Hell, we caught a mess. I mean, probably 40, 50 of them.
Yeah.
But my God, it takes 10 to make a meal.
Uh-huh. Or crappie. Have you ever been crappie
yeah.
fishing?
Yeah. I ain't into those little fish. Really? Give me something real to wrestle with.
I don't know.
Those
are actually good. I don't like wrestling with it because then it's stressful and then.
Oh no! I like those. I like the ones that you almost get it to the boat yes. and then it slips off and flips and swims away and you're like, Let me try that again. Honestly, when I used to fish, the main thing mine was just relax. Just
yes.
cast it out, sit in the sun. Mm-hmm.
And it's better by yourself, too. Like, because I went on a fishing trip, I think, in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, you know, weight limits and stuff like that. But it's, yeah. like, the way my family was, it's like, you ate whatever you caught. It didn't matter.
Right.
But I remember, man, I got this fish in. And, like, he was like, oh, yeah, let's take pictures with it. I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, taking pictures with it. And then he held it. And then he just dropped it back in the water. I'm like, oh my God, you're the worst guide ever. You just dropped my fish. I'm like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
I'm like, how are we going to get that back? I did all this work and you just dropped it. It just slipped right out of your hands. And he's like, it wasn't in the weight limit. I'm like, what?
Weight limit? That would feed what? Me. I'm that like, was
that
big
was,
enough.
That was plenty.
Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, that's something I don't even do anymore. So busy with everything.
Yeah.
I'd love to get back into it.
A lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Miss Savannah, I appreciate you coming down, hanging out with me.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, we'll do this again.
Absolutely.
Anytime you want to come in, talk about the latest kill or
oh, yeah.
the
I'll
newest
have some
jewelry.
Stories.
and you're a snake fan, right?
I am. I love snakes.
You got to bring your snake next time. When Amanda's not here, of course, because she
no,
hates
she,
snakes.
She's a nice snake. She would like her.
No, she wouldn't.
But she's so cute. She likes to be booped on the nose.
Aww. I love them. I love snakes. Yeah. I just, you know, catch them, hold them.
I mean, her name is Noodles. How could you not love a snake named Noodles?
Amanda would show you how she would not love. She would stay up there. She'd be like, nope, not
no.
coming down there. Oh, well, thank you again so much.
You're so welcome.
And, well.
Just
The Kilaki House, Auto Odium.